Fabrics and Wearsome.
Okay, dorks, the Pokemon Company decided that 2025 will once again be the year of the Mega, and with Pokemon like Mega Hawlucha reaffirming my Mexican pride and Mega Victory Bell reaffirming my acid reflux pride, it's probably about time I talk about Mega Pokemon on the channel again. I've been saving this for when we are getting close to the release of Pokemon Legends EA, and seeing as we're literally just over a month from having Megas back in our greasy little hands, it seems like this is the right time. Am I going to be talking about the brand new Megas? No, not yet, at least not in this format. Today, I'm going to be talking about the old Megas, specifically the ones that kind of age like milk. Or, hey, maybe they were already spoiled milk to begin with. Today, we'll be talking about the old bad Mega Pokemon and giving a buff to each of them in Moxie World. That's right, it's another theory crafting video. Or, as we call it in the Being Honest With Ourselves community, fanfiction. Leave a like, subscribe, check out the Patreon, begin. Okay, let's actually clear up some points, because moving forward, I don't feel like answering the same questions in the comment section over and over again. Mega Pokemon need to be worth running on a team, not only over other Pokemon, but also over their base forms. There are multiple Megas that are outclassed by their base form simply due to that base form being able to run an item, sort of like Mewtwo and Mega Mewtwo, where regular Mewtwo is better than Mega Mewtwo. Why? Because the Life Orb just says, yeah, I deal more damage than you. There are many Mega Pokemon that have already had buffs given to them via their movesets in later generations, sort of like how Mega Steelix and Mega Aggron will get Body Press, seeing as regular Steelix and regular Aggron have Body Press in Gens 8 and 9. Their Megas should retain these moves. For that reason, we won't really be discussing them in this video, as they'll probably have a niche moving forward due to that move. Mega Pokemon now exist in a heavily power-crept environment, where the stats they were granted due to their Mega Stones are now usually stats that we see on Pokemon that don't require them, like Kartana, Fluttermane, and Iron Hands. Like, be honest, look at Iron Hands and try to tell me that isn't just Mega Hariyama with an Assault Vest. Like, come on. Mega Pokemon should sort of feel like a raid boss, not all the way into the territory of being like a restricted Pokemon, but enough of a powerhouse on the team that their properties sort of create their own archetypes around them. Sort of like how Koridon has Sun Teams built around it, and how Kyogre can take advantage of Swift Swim Sweepers and Pokemon like Archaladon. Finally, Mega Pokemon are only allowed to have a 100-point stat buff above their base forms, and the HP has never changed on these. For that reason, I have to consider this when I move around stats. Also, I play VGC, which is the official competitive format, so these buffs will be made with that in mind. Sorry, singles players, it just seems like Daddy Game Freak likes us better at the moment. Why else would they give Mega Audino Healer as an ability? Yeah, we totally use that. I don't actually particularly care for Mega Ampharos, but oh my god, this thing was seriously needed to move Ampharos up just a little bit in the viability tiers. Base Ampharos can do very little with its narrow move pool and frankly underwhelming stats. Like, it's not particularly bulky, fast, or hits very hard. This is the epitome of a playthrough Pokemon. It's kind of like having a poodle that fits in your purse. Like, will it herd your sheep or save someone from falling in a well? No, but it's pretty stylish. Speaking of stylish, check out his fresh cut and his mega form. Its mega stats are pretty solid all things considered, and it even gains the partial dragon typing to let it click Dragon Pulse a little harder. That being said, in a world with Pokemon like Mega Salamence and Mega Kangaskhan running around, having a fresh cut and a high special attack stat just isn't doing it. It needs some kind of niche, which its Mega tries to accomplish by giving it access to Moldbreaker. Ignoring abilities is cool and all, but I don't think that I'm choosing Fabio here as my dedicated Kyogre Raichu counter. Let's keep it simple. We'll replace its ability with Fluffy and grant it access to the move Tail Glow. This gives Mega Ampharos the bulk that it needs to set up its Tail Glows in front of physical attackers and then break through special walls with its absurdly boosted special attack stat. There's nothing really flashy going on here, well, I guess except for his tail. Obviously, Healer is not a good ability on a Mega. Like, cool, thanks Mega Audino, I'm really glad you got a Mega form. What'd you get? Ooh, better bulk and basically nothing else? Thank you, Santa, I'll be extra good next year. I think that the fairy typing is kinda sick, but I don't know. Let's make this one quick, I don't really care about Audino that much. Let's change the Mega's ability from Healer to Triage. Like, Healer just heals the Pokemon next to you from its status ailments at the end of each turn, but Triage lets you heal with priority, and not just like a small amount of priority, it's like plus 3 or something. So, let's not change anything about the stats. We're now effectively dealing with Super Comb Face, so I don't really want to boost those defenses in any way, nor do I want to boost its special attack stat, because Triage is frankly a broken ability. Its defenses are great, and its special attack stat is kind of bad. I like it that way. It's now just going to be spamming Calm Mind and Draining Kiss in doubles, and it's probably going to be really good in singles. That's all I have to say about it. I hope this video isn't putting you to sleep, but if you're looking to sleep better, I've got just the mattress for you. This video is sponsored by Titan. Titan is the mattress built for every body. With a blend of high-quality foam and heavy-duty coils, Titan mattresses offer the lift and durability you deserve for a great night's sleep. As someone who struggles to sleep on other mattresses that make me compromise between comfort and support, Titan mattresses have been great since I get the best of both worlds. When I needed a new mattress, I wanted something that would be durable, comfy, and wouldn't leave me too hot or too cold at night. So I chose the Titan Plus Lux. I worked with Titan many months ago, and I have since moved to a new place. When I moved, I knew I needed to bring my Titan mattress with me, since in the time I've had that mattress, I've had some of the most comfortable sleep I've ever gotten in years. I'm never too hot or too cold. Just look at this live demonstration of how easily I fall asleep on my Titan mattress. It's so good, even a cat can tell it's the right choice.
Okay, cat test. Do you like it? Do you like it? Do you like it? I think he likes it.
I'm being serious. Look at my old mattress. It's just collecting dust in the basement. I'm never switching back. I'm loving my Titan mattress, and Titan is so sure that you'll love your mattress that you'll get a 120-night sleep trial along with a limited lifetime warranty. And it's easy to set up. TitanMattress.com delivers your mattress right to your door for free within the US. It's designed, assembled, and shipped from the Arizona factory and comes rolled up in this convenient box. Once you take it out of the box and open the plastic, the mattress inflates to its full size and you're all ready to have some of the best sleep of your life. I may have gotten the Titan Plus Lux, but you can choose that, the Titan Plus, or even the Titan Elite. So they really have something for everyone, even me. Look how effortlessly the Titan Lux Plus catches my body as I break down after having gone X and 3 at yet another regional. I love my Titan mattress, and I think you will too. If you're looking for a brand new bed, check out TitanMattress.com. You can click the links below and get 30% off your order with code MOXIEBOOSTED. Again, you can click the links below and get 30% off your order with code MOXIEBOOSTED. And thanks again to Titan for sponsoring this video. Mega Absol is a Pokemon that has always disappointed me because for a very long time, it was my favorite Pokemon ever. Specifically from the ages of 15 to 17, so hormones and angst probably have a lot to do with that. But I remember just not being able to get anything done with it in ranked matches. Like, the best I could muster was sniping Landorus Therion with an Ice Beam if it wasn't already sending Absol to an early retirement with Scarf U-Turn. So I'm being very particular with this one. Absol has some pretty abhorrent stats. It's like if glass cannons just weren't allowed to outspeed things. Like, what are we doing giving the frail Dark-type a 130 attack and still letting Rillaboom move first? It's just not very fair at all. Mega Absol aimed to improve on this by giving it the ability Magic Bounce, a higher attack stat at 150, a solid base 115 special attack stat, and even 115 speed. But even back in Gen 6 and 7, this wasn't fast enough or hitting hard enough to make it worth running on most teams. Like, yay, Mega Absol can bounce back Will-O-Wisp. That'd be great if its biggest threat wasn't Tapu, no one gets statused as long as I'm around Finny. Let's workshop this. Let's take Mega Absol's stats and decrease its attack stat by 5 to increase its speed stat by 5. This lets Mega Absol enter a speed tier that not many Pokemon reach, but more importantly, it'll let it outspeed Whimsicott specifically, which has already become such a threat in modern VGC that it could be relevant enough to box out Mega Absol from viability entirely. Not sure what we do about Tapu Fini, but that's where we make up for it in different ways. Let's make up for its slightly lower attack stat by giving it a new ability in Disaster Area. That's right, I was being so honest, we are making fanfiction today. We are just fanfictioning this whole video out. Disaster Area causes natural disaster moves, a brand new category that I'm making up right now, used by any Pokemon on the field to have a 30% boost in power as long as Mega Absol is active. This list of moves includes Earthquake, Rock Slide, Hurricane, Heat Wave, Thunder, Blizzard, and Eruption. Mega Absol would also gain access to several new moves on this list, including Hurricane, Earthquake, and Heat Wave. This is because within lore, Absol warns humans of incoming natural disasters. While it doesn't directly cause them, I don't think this is a reason as to why it shouldn't have these moves, as much as it is a reason we should let it have even more wacky tools in its moveset. Like Hurricane. Like, how is Absol causing a hurricane? Well, it isn't. It just happens to be there when one happened to hit the Pokemon. This ability now lets Absol pair with Blizzard Spammers, Eruption Spammers, Scarf Rock Slide Pokemon, and many other annoying strategies that people just hate. This also fits within lore from a meta perspective, because in the games, humans hate Absol, and now so will most competitive players. Alakazam isn't awful, all things considered, but what do you expect when its base form has 120 speed and 135 special attack? Like, Inteleon's from Gen 8 and it doesn't even hit this hard, dude. And with Expanding Force now in its arsenal, it's only going to be getting stronger moving forward. issue is that it's not worth running over many other psychic types in modern Pokemon, and while its Mega Form isn't all that bad now with Expanding Force, we can at least assure that it's going to be worth running in some capacity. We'll give it the brand new ability of Enlightenment. This causes all special attacks to deal 50% damage to the user, and cause the user to take double damage from Dark-type attacks. Basically, it's a special version of the ability Fluffy. Look, Alakazam already falls over to the physical damage equivalent of a water balloon fight, so I think that at least tanking special hits a little bit better is a solid insurance plan. Obviously, it's going to pair well with Indeedee Female and other psychic terrain setters, and it's going to be a very annoying Pokemon to deal with, but Rillaboom exists, Muradon exists, you'll have plenty of ways to play around this guy. I genuinely don't know what to do with Mega Garchomp. Like, base Garchomp is just better than Mega Garchomp because it's faster, and there's no way that you're going to be setting up sand just to hit things a little bit harder. I don't know. At first, I thought maybe giving Mega Garchomp Sand Spit would be a cool idea. You know, it takes damage, and then it sets up Sandstorm every time that happens. That could be kind of cool. And then I thought maybe Sharpness could work because it's got those blades for hands, right? But then I would have to give it access to more cutting moves. And then I realized I just can't really think of a way to make this thing better without breaking it. So this is that dedicated, I don't know what to do, you guys comment down below entry in this video. I you know, just let me know. Let me know what you would do with Mega Garchomp moving forward. Mewtwo hasn't been a good restricted Pokemon since at least Generation 4. For those of you at home who don't know what a restricted Pokemon is, it's basically just the legendary Pokemon that would typically show up on the boxes of the games. Kyogre, Groudon, Rayquaza, Kyurem, Mewtwo, Xerneas, like that tier of power. They're called restricted because in certain formats you are restricted, you see that? Pretty cool, huh? To only using a certain number of them per team. Seeing as Mewtwo is the very first restricted Pokemon ever made, it was obviously bound to get power crept at some point. Nowadays, there's this cocky British jackalope running around calling himself the king, and there's really nothing we can do about it because, frankly, he's kinda got hands. There's no reason a regular restricted Pokemon should be outclassing a mega restricted Pokemon, so let's try to right this wrong. 140 speed just isn't cutting it on Mega Mewtwo, but rather than taking points from its physical attack stat and moving those over, I think we should take an alternate route to avoid breaking the game with it. Let's decrease its defense stat to 50 and increase its speed to 160, allowing it to outspeed Calyrex Shadow Rider, and forcing the Calyrex Shadow Rider to either run a Choice Scarf or a Focus Sash to deal with the Pokemon. We'll also change its ability from Insomnia to Neuroforce. This is the signature ability of Ultra Necrozma, but he's been MIA since 2019, so it's like public domain now or something. Neuroforce gives the user a 25% boost in power to its super effective attacks, and Mewtwo has coverage for days, so it should be able to outspeed most Pokemon and hit them with the left hook called Ice Beam. Or Thunderbolt. Or Shadow Ball. Or Energy Ball. He gets so many moves, I don't know why he doesn't get Neuroforce. And now we have to talk about Mega Mewtwo X.
Wow, Mewtwo, Game Freak lets you have two Mega Forms?
Yeah, we got a second mediocre form to buff here. Mega Mewtwo X just doesn't have the sauce to compete with these young bucks in an Intimidate-infested metagame that also is now home to four Gen 9 Pokemon that just outright outspeed it. Let's decrease Mega Mewtwo's special attack stat from 154 to 144 and increase its speed to 140, allowing for it to outspeed the Gen 9 Bikes, Fluttermane, and of course, Chienpao. We'll also change its ability from Steadfast to Inner Focus, allowing it to never get flinched while avoiding Intimidate drops. Why let Mewtwo outspeed all these Pokemon? Simple. Chienpao can deal with Mega Mewtwo X if it's got a Focus Sash, and Fluttermane can deal with it if it's got a Booster Energy or a Focus Sash itself. Mega Mewtwo doesn't have any cheap gimmicks, it's just raw power. Let my boy throw hands, Game Freak. Wee-woo, wee-woo, another Pokemon I really like, get ready for some yapping. Base Bayonet actually has no niche. Like, literally no niche. I have tried for years. The attack stat may be 115, but its bulk and speed are too low to do anything with it. It's not the best Will-O-Wisp user, it's not the best Trick Room setter, it's not even the best Ghost type on Mount Pyre. And the Mega Form may grant it slight boost to its stats along with that massive 165 base attack stat, but if Mega Mewtwo was struggling to get anything done with its stats, what is Mega Bayonet good for? Look, Prankster is a huge buff, I'm not gonna deny that, but Mega Bayonet's entire competitive history can be defined by tossing out a Will-O-Wisp, a Shadow Claw, and then hoping you take something down with Prankster Destiny Bond. It's got one moveset, so let's just try to make it at least better at using that moveset. Let's give it a partial dark typing. While it's going to be more similar to Sableye due to this buff, I don't think it's going to cause them to necessarily compete, thanks to Mega Bayonet's massive attack stat, setting it apart from base Sableye's low attack stat, and frankly, overall frailty. Granting Mega Banette the partial dark typing now reduces its weakness to a sole vulnerability in the fairy type. This also prevents it from having to deal with prankster taunts from the opposing Pokemon, as being a dark type makes it immune to all prankster moves. Hey, even knockoff becomes a viable move on Banette due to this. Let's also increase its bulk at the expense of its special attack stat, since it's not really using that anyways. We'll lower the special attack stat to just 63 and reallocate the points so it has 95 defense and 93 special defense. This will actually allow it to start to tank hits, as outspeeding things shouldn't matter much when Banette is mostly just going to be spamming prankster moves and clicking Shadow Sneak as its main attack. Speaking of its main attack, as of Gen 9, Poltergeist is now a move that Banette has access to. This allows for it to actually hit things pretty hard with that base 165 attack stat. Shadow Claw wasn't cutting it, Shadow Sneak wasn't cutting it. This is actually a really good move for it. I think Banette with these buffs and the dark typing makes it actually a pretty solid pick. Okay, Mega Gallade, there's no way they don't just give this thing sharpness, right? Like the base form has sharpness, and it hits harder than the Mega form. Like, they'll just let that carry over, right? Alright, moving forward. Base Glalie is one of the Pokemon ever. I mean, like, stat-wise, it's just Ice-type Fionne. What do you expect this thing to accomplish? Moody is a cool ability. I mean, you get to leave the game in the hands of RNG and then see what comes of it. Mega Glalie does get some notable stat increases, but when you're buffing base 80 stats across the board, it's only going to go so far. Refrigerate turning all normal moves into Ice-type moves with a buff to their power is great on Double Edge, Hyper Voice, and even the occasional Explosion set, but Mega Glalie has never made much of a splash in VGC, so what do we do here? Well, what we've learned today is that a speed buff goes a long way. Let's just move some of Mega Glalie's physical attack into its speed stat. 105 should be enough to make it a threat in most contexts, right? So we end up with a base 115 attack stat and 105 speed. Though, this could also come from its special attack stat, depending on if you think Glalie should be a Hyper Voice spammer or just a double-edged spammer. I'm partial to it being a special attacker, since it allows for it to use Freeze Dry more effectively to hit water types, and then it doesn't leave it vulnerable to Intimidate. Actually, let's just roll with that. Let's just fully commit here. Let's drop the attack stat to 105 and give it 130 special attack stat and that 105 base speed. It's not hitting as hard these days since Refrigerate got nerfed, but it should still be a pretty powerful Pokemon, all things considered. Behold, the original potential Mon. I don't need to explain the issues with base Beedrill. I really don't. You can look at it yourself. But Mega Beedrill, as decent as it was in singles, just doesn't get much done in doubles. 145 speed and 150 attack with an adaptability boosting stab moves is great and all, and I mean that U-turn really hit like a truck. Trust me, I've been on the receiving end of that. But that speed stat just isn't enough these days to move faster than a lot of Pokemon. It used to be good at hunting down fairy types like the Tapus, but plenty of other poisons do that job much better. Let's create a new ability for this guy. We're going to change its ability from Adaptability to Swarm Power. This is a new ability that I made up just now that gives a similar adaptability boost but only to Bug-type attacks, but it also grants it a speed boost at the end of each turn. That's right, he gets two abilities. Look, if Calyrex can do it, Mega Beedrill can. I don't care, it's my fanfiction. While this does leave it a lot weaker on the poison side of things, it does cause it to be a far more threatening Pokemon overall, and speed boost at the end of each turn will allow for it to protect on the final turn of Tailwind and nearly guarantee resetting it for a partner Pokemon the next turn, and this buff doesn't get rid of its adaptability boost on U-turn, so it can still do that in singles. That's basically all it was doing anyways. Houndoom is cool, but as of right now, the broken fire dark type role has been swooped up by a cat and a goldfish. So what reason is there for a hellhound to be hanging out on the sidelines and handing out Gatorade? Currently, Mega Houndoom has solid bulk all around, 140 special attack and 115 speed with the ability Solar Power. Solar Power causes Sun to grant Mega Houndoom a 50% boost to its special attacks on top of the inherent Sun boost to fire moves. But doubling down on fire types to get Torkoal on the field and give your Houndoom stronger heat waves isn't so great when Mega Charizard Y can just do that on its own and much better. What we need to do is find a way to set Mega Houndoom apart from every other Pokemon and give it a real role that nothing else can fill. This is why I'm coming up with the brand new ability of Brimstone. This causes all of Mega Houndoom's fire-type attacks to have the Fire Spin effect added on. The Pokemon that's hit can't switch out and will take 1/8 damage at the end of each turn. Only this effect will only last 2 turns rather than the full 4 to 5 that Fire Spin typically does. So protecting just once allows for the Pokemon to switch out on the following turn. It might not seem that strong, or if you're a competitive player, you might realize, oh, that's actually pretty strong, but it's kind of a crazy ability. Like, hey, check this out. Heat Wave means you can't switch out on either Pokemon. Sorry, hope you can take the next one. I don't know. We should really just break most of the Mega Pokemon. If everything's broken, nothing's broken, but it seems like only a few Mega Pokemon are broken. Let me have this. Mega Pidgeot is really interesting. Base Pidgeot stats are just notably bad. It just doesn't do anything. There is no reason to run base Pidgeot in like any format, ever. I don't even think it was good in Gen 1. It is, once again, like a poodle that fits in your purse. But Mega Pidgeot actually actively makes me upset. It looks really cool. Like, Super Saiyan 3 is awesome and everything, right? But no guard. Why give it no guard? Like, I like the stat spread. I like everything you're doing here. These stats are good, right? Normal flying, you know, I could take it or leave it. Maybe just pure flying would be awesome, but I guess if you want to, like, click double edge. But no guard, that's where I have an issue. On paper, that sounds incredible for Mega Pidgeot. You know, you can always land your Hurricanes. But when the ability only adds consistency to a single move, what are you really looking at? Like, what we're looking at here is an active nerf for Pidgeot, like, 30% of the time. You want to hit your Hurricanes? Set up rain like everyone else, you know? There you go. That's way better than just leaving yourself guaranteed to never dodge a Rock Slide, or even worse, having a guaranteed Oko move on you from Sheer Cold and Guillotine. People run those moves in Gen 9 VGC. They're gonna run them in Generation 10 and Champions. For this reason, Mega Pidgeot is getting arguably the single most broken ability on this list, but as long as it's contained to just Mega Pidgeot, it should be fine. I think that its stats are modest enough that it shouldn't be an issue, and this will be fairly easy to play against. The new ability is called Jet Stream. This automatically sets up a Tailwind if Mega Pidgeot hits the field. It's not broken, trust me, because it requires you to Mega a Pokemon, and at that, you are using Mega Pidgeot. But it also allows for Mega Pidgeot to have some pretty solid synergy with very particular Pokemon like Bramblegast and Shiftry, as the Windrider ability gives them a +1 attack boost every time Tailwind is set up. So Pidgeot hits the field, Mega evolves, Bramblegast and Shiftry now have a boost to their attack stat, and they can do things next to it. Also, it's a good ability. We've been asking for this in Pokemon for a while, and I think that locking it to a Mega makes a lot of sense. Counterplay, just set up Trick Room or your own Tailwind. I don't care, figure it out. But those are my buffs for bad Mega Pokemon in VGC. Let me know what you thought about them in the comment section down below, and let me know if I missed any Megas. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Let me know how you would buff Mega Garchomp, in fact. I literally couldn't think of anything for that. Hopefully Pokemon Champions will grant some of these Pokemon much-needed buffs, because I'm kind of bored of seeing Mega Salamence and Mega Kangaskhan run the show in VGC. The variety is definitely needed. If you enjoyed, be sure to leave a like and subscribe. It means the world to me. If you want to support me further, you can check out my Patreon page or become a YouTube channel member by clicking the join button below the video. This gets you sneak peeks at future videos, bonus content, and access to my supporter-only Discord server, where you can hang out and team build with other community members. You also see your name at the end of all my videos, like all these lovely people. Special thanks to my most boosted supporters, Avatar67 and Club, for their generous pledges. Another way to support me is to check out all the videos in the playlist on screen right now. I know you'll find something in there that you'll enjoy. I have a second channel where I talk about the current VGC metagame trends, and a Twitch channel where I stream, both of which will be in the description, or you can just catch my YouTube live streams Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. CST. Thank you all for watching, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye!